Zapraszamy na następny dialog, który będzie mówił o metodach wyjścia. Naprawdę zapraszam do pozostania. To jest ciekawe. Dobrze, to może zaczniemy w takim razie, bo rzeczywiście zostanie dramatycznie mało czasu. Zapraszam na kolejny dialog. Dialog, który się nazywa następująco. Terapia aplikacja, czyli różne sposoby powrotu do językowych umiejętności. I witam dwie osoby. Abby Roper. I just bumble.
Thank you. Bumble, please bumble. Words, yeah.
Terapeutka, Abby Roper to terapeutka i badaczka mowy i języka. Pracuje w Londynie. W swojej pracy skupia się na terapii z pomocą komputera i dostępności komputerowej dla osób z afazją. Interesuje się możliwościami technologii w terapii mowy i języka. Była zaangażowana w tworzenie i testowanie trzech kluczowych komputerowych narzędzi terapeutycznych zaprojektowanych dla osób z afazją. Ma nadzieję, że w dyskusję na temat afazji i technologii włączą się technolodzy, personel medyczny, naukowcy oraz wszyscy dotknięci afazją, zgodnie z pani prośbą. Drugim gościem, już przepraszam, jest Marcin Wichrowski.
Dzień dobry.
To będzie bardzo długa historia. Gratuluję.
Od drugiej części dopiero, tak.
Od drugiej części. Dla mnie to wszystko jest jedna część.
Imię, nazwisko i przedostatni akapit.
Marcin Wichrowski, to już powiedziałem. No, proszę. Nie odważę się wybierać.
Sam, tak? Dobrze. To ja sam może. W 2012 roku odbył staż w Technische Universität Eindhoven, gdzie zajmował się projektowaniem aplikacji na urządzenie mobilne dla ludzi z zaburzeniami afektycznymi. Od 2006 roku współorganizuje seminaria i konferencje naukowe na temat użyteczności, ergonomii, a także funkcjonalności interfejsu użytkownika oraz wdrażania metod projektowania zorientowanego na użytkownika. Skupia się na opracowaniu metodologii projektowania interfejsu użytkownika w aplikacji urządzeń medycznych. Interesują go nowe, eksperymentalne formy interakcji człowiek-komputer oraz badanie ich wpływu na użyteczność i emocje odbiorców.
Dobrze, to usłyszeliśmy pół prawdy. Mogę dać do przeczytania resztę. Dobrze, to najpierw zaprosimy Abi. Wszyscy potrzebujący mają słuchawki? Tak, dobrze. To Abi.
Go. Yeah. Hello. I'm apologizing that I'm not speaking to you in Polish. I'm a communicator, but sadly, not in Polish. I'd like to talk to you about computer rehabilitation, and specifically, computer rehabilitation for aphasia. So my talk is called Computer Rehabilitation, Aphasia Joins the Conversation. I've probably had a biography read for me, but I'm not sure what it was, so I'm going to tell you who I am as well. My name is Abby Roper, and I'm a speech and language therapist and a researcher working in the UK at City University London. I'm part of a big team of people, and you'll see some of my co-researchers up here on the slide next to me, next to my name. Okay. So, I'd like to tell you what I'm going to be talking about today. But before I do that, I want to say thank you to Carolina for inviting me along here and having me along and for organizing this event, and also to Julia Leopold, who's been a fantastic liaison in organizing getting me over here, and also to the Adam Mickiewicz Institute for sponsoring my trip. Okay, what have we got coming up? I'm going to talk to you about what aphasia is from my perspective and from the research perspective that I work in. And then I'm going to tell you a bit about computer rehabilitation for aphasia. Then I'll talk about a specific piece of research we've done at City University London, and that's called GEST. It's a computer therapy. After that, I'll briefly introduce another research project called EVA before I tell you what we've learned through doing these two projects at the university. And then finally, I want to explain to you why I think it's important for people with aphasia to join the conversation about computer rehabilitation. Right, so let's start with aphasia. Aphasia is a language difficulty. It happens after brain injury, so most commonly happens after a stroke, and then it can affect speaking, understanding, reading, and writing. To explain this in a bit more detail, I've got some pictures. One of the important things to remember about aphasia is that it's not a difficulty that affects people's intelligence. It does affect their language. So it can be difficult for people to think of the words to say to express their thoughts, and also to understand the words that other people say. It doesn't just affect spoken language. It can make it difficult for people to read words and sentences to extract the meaning. And it can also make it difficult for people to spell and write words and sentences. Everybody with aphasia is different, and people can have problems with all of the things that I've just told you about, or just one of them. Similarly, the differences are on a continuum, so people can have very mild difficulties expressing themselves or understanding things, or they can have very severe difficulties, meaning that it's very difficult for them to express themselves at all or to understand other people. And they might last for a few months after stroke, or they can last a whole lifetime. Okay. So some of the therapies, as I said, I'm a speech and language therapist. Some of the activities that we might work on in therapy with people with aphasia are speaking, understanding, reading, writing, drawing, and gesture. So in order to work on any of these skills, people need to have lots and lots of practice to achieve, to make the most of this neuroplasticity, to make changes to the language system. You need to do lots and lots of practice. And something that computer therapies allow us to do is to keep practicing even when there isn't a speech therapist there to support that practice. So this enables people to get up to the levels of practice that they need to achieve to make the changes to their brain and to their language system. Right, so now I'm going to introduce you to some examples of computer therapies that exist at the moment. Some computer therapies, like this one, step by step, work on single words. They might work on spelling or speaking, single words. This one, Sentence Shaper, works on sentences, helps people to put sentences together. And this one, C-Speak Aphasia, works on using pictures as a way of expressing people's meaning. Now, many of these existing technologies have been created by researchers, technologists, and speech and language therapists. And what I want to tell you about next is a project that we've worked on at City University London, which added a new group of people into that mix. Okay, so the project in question is called GEST. And GEST is a computer gesture therapy which aims to help people learn to use gestures to get their message across when they can't find the spoken words to say things. So it's designed for people who have very severe aphasia. That means very severe difficulties in getting any words out at all. And it aims to help them produce a set of gestures to communicate their message. So it might be something like that for a drink, or like that for a hat. Hopefully that translates into Polish as well. Okay. This was funded by the Research Council's UK Digital Economy theme. And here is the research team. Our design team was made up of the usual characters, researchers in speech and language therapy and technology. We also had five people with aphasia on our research design team. And all of us on this slide were employed to develop this computer therapy. So we all got paid for doing this and developing this together. So how did we go about doing this design process? Well, we carried out a series of workshops, and this took place over a period of about 9 months. And within each workshop, we had a speech and language therapist, a technology researcher, a software developer, and two or three people with aphasia. Over a series of workshops, we looked at the basic elements of computer gesture recognition, giving and following instructions using a computer, which pieces of the computer were confusing for people with aphasia, and which things were helpful, and then what elements might we include in the therapy to make practice interesting and motivating. Now, as a team, we had to come up with a common design language to let us do this design process. But this design language wasn't entirely made up of words, because words aren't necessarily the easiest way to communicate ideas with team members who have aphasia. So our design language, when we were making this, when we were carrying out this design process, consisted of lots and lots of physical demonstration, both from myself as a speech therapist and from the people with aphasia to explain what our ideas were. We did things one at a time. We limited the amount of distractions. That was a convenient moment for that to happen.
Just a sec.
The speech therapist in me needs to wait right now. Okay, so I was just going over our design process and how we might communicate design ideas in our team without always relying on spoken language. The first way was lots of demonstration. We did things one at a time and got rid of the amount of distractions in the room. We also used lots of writing and pictures to help support the exchange of ideas. And we used photographs and gestures to support the conversation as well. One critical thing which we added in, which you might not include in a typical design session, is lots and lots of time to allow communication to take place. So what came out of it? At the end of the 9 months, we came up with this, which is GEST. And this is a computer therapy which allows people to learn and practice a set of gestures that they can use to support their conversation. The computer has a separate keyboard at the front, which you can see here. And that has just four buttons, and then there's an on and an off button on the main computer. And those are the only buttons that you need to operate the computer from start to finish. Additionally, on the top of the computer, you can see a camera. And this allows people to practice their gestures in front of the computer. Now, the camera looks at the person's hand as they practice and tells you if you're getting it right, tells you if you're making the gesture correctly or not with your hand. This means you can keep practicing your gestures even when there's not a therapist like me there to tell you if you're getting it right or not. So, this allows people to practice gestures at home, by themselves, and then they can practice as many times a day as they like. They don't need to travel to a clinic. They get lots of practice so that they can make changes to their brain's language system, and they're not dependent on another person to be in charge of their rehabilitation. So I'm just going to quickly go over now some of the key features of GEST. And many of these have been influenced by our members of the design team who have aphasia. So the first of these here is a separate keyboard, which I mentioned before. It's a simplified way of controlling the system. The computer uses gesture recognition to look at whether the gestures that are being produced are accurate or not. The system uses video instructions in place of an audio instruction or a written prompt to explain what's meant to happen next. And it includes fun, gamey things, like simple 3D worlds for practice, to help make the practice a bit more interesting. Okay, at this point, I'd like to show a video about... Now, just before I start the video, thank you, I just want to tell you a couple of things about the computer. I'm going to show you a video about what happens on the computer screen when somebody is practicing with Jest, with this tool. You'll see what the software looks like when you use it, and in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, you'll see the person sat there using it. On the main screen, you'll see what's happening on the computer screen as the person is seeing it. There are three levels of practice in this therapy. The first is gestures on their own. The second is gestures in a 3D world. And the third is gestures in a conversation, a bit more like you might see gestures used in real life. Okay, so we're going to play the video for you now. Here is the gesture for camera. Now it's your turn. Sorry, the applause is very loud. And this is the 3D world now. Here is the gesture for umbrella. Now it's your turn. And finally, the level with practicing gestures in a real-world conversation.
Gloves.
Gloves.
Thank you. Hopefully that's given you a bit of an insight into what it is. In case you're wondering, yes, that was me in the first video. And no, I didn't forget to take my washing up gloves off. The yellow glove is part of the camera gesture recognition that we use, and it allows the computer to tell which bit of the picture that it's looking at is a person's hand. Okay, so that's what the computer therapy looked like. Now, because I'm from a team of researchers and we're based at a university, we wanted to find out, we've made this great new tool, does it work? Does it help people with aphasia to learn new gestures? So we carried out a pilot study with 9 people with severe aphasia. And I took the therapy to people at home. I gave them a Jest computer to practice with at home for 6 weeks. And I asked them to practice with it every day for about an hour. Over the 6 weeks, we found that practice with Jest increased the number of gestures that people could produce. We also found out that people used it regularly and that they used it independently. They used it by themselves without help from a carer, which is not always the case for types of therapy. Finally, they reported to us that they enjoyed using it. Now, that's really important, because if it's something that you're going to be doing a lot, you should hope that somebody's going to enjoy it. Another great thing about the outcomes from this project are that very often people with severe aphasia can't access computer therapy. There aren't many tools out there for people who have very severe difficulties communicating. And through this process of design with people with aphasia and through testing, we're beginning to understand how we can change that. Right, so what next? After we made Jest, we wanted to use the things that we'd learned to help us develop more rehabilitation technology for people with aphasia. So another team got together to come up with Eva Park. Again, the design team was made up of researchers from speech and language therapy and technology, plus 5 people with aphasia, all employed to work on this project. Using the same workshop process over a number of months, the team developed Eva Park, which is this virtual island that you can see here. This is an online virtual computer world where people with aphasia have a virtual character or an avatar, and they can meet up online with a virtual speech and language therapist avatar for 1 hour a day to practice their choice of communication goals. Now, this therapy is a bit different from the last one in that it's for people who have more spoken words than the sort of people who might use Jest. And the person who's plugged into this virtual world has headphones and a microphone, and they use their limited language to speak over the microphone and to talk online with their speech therapist whilst exploring different parts of this virtual world. Again, one of the benefits of this is that people can do this work at home from their home, and that I, as a therapist, might be in a completely different part of the country, and I can still meet up on this virtual island with them for 1 hour a day. So, the influence on of people with aphasia on this design has been to make it a much more playful environment, with a move away from the functional language practice that we as a speech and language therapist, or that I as a speech and language therapist, might previously have thought is the thing that we need to do with people with aphasia. So instead of having a medical office where I make people come and practice talking to their doctor or talking about where they have pain, we have a whole range of crazy things on this island. So you might see a disco up in the far corner and a diving board, and a Doctor Who TARDIS, because what home is complete without a Doctor Who TARDIS? Here's an example snapshot from a practice session that we've had in this world. And this shows you a virtual sports day, which was set up by one of our users with aphasia. This virtual sports day included 5 people with aphasia, 2 speech and language therapists, using their virtual characters or avatars to do things like race around our virtual island, to take part in a diving competition, which I won, by the way. We had an awards ceremony, complete with speeches, and then we had a celebratory drink in a virtual bar at the end of the event. And this sort of practice is starting to move towards the more everyday use of language that people want to get back to after they've developed aphasia. So I just want to finish off by talking about some of the lessons that we've learned. By doing these 2 different types of project, they've both importantly been influenced by the presence on the design team of members with aphasia. So finishing up by talking about some of the lessons we've learned here, technology offers exciting opportunities for aphasia rehabilitation. It allows us to create lots of opportunities for practice with limited amounts of travel and exertion that we might otherwise need. And it cuts down on the cost for physical presence of speech therapist. We need to think about how we can make this technology accessible to everybody with aphasia who wants to use it, however. And it's important that we think about making this technology engaging so that people who are doing this practice every day, for 1 hour every day, are interested in doing it for that often. And how can we do that? Hopefully you will have worked out what my answer to that will be. By including people with aphasia in the conversation from the very beginning of the design and development process. This can be challenging. It's not the same as developing a technology in the usual way, in the way that I, as a speech therapist, or somebody else as a computer interaction researcher might be used to doing. But it's important. It takes time, but it encourages a meaningful conversation and a rewarding dialogue about the topics. And I feel like that's kind of what this whole day and this whole conference has been about. And the outcome of it is that it results in novel and wonderful new technologies that people with aphasia not only can use, but that they really want to use as well. That's it. Thank you. We're going. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. So we switch to, przepraszam,